In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know if you can relate to the idea of being rules people. Ruth and I kid each other a lot about being rules people. We laugh about it. We laugh about each other about it, but mostly because it's completely true. The rules say, for instance, that I should use a turn signal when I drive. So I'm one of the last members of the state of California, I think, who actually does use a turn signal or do other. Okay, there's one more. to make a turn, change lanes, because it's a rule, right? Just because it's a rule. Ruth and I meticulously every Tuesday work at making sure we've properly during the week sorted out the trash from the recycling. And so we want to make sure that they're in the right bucket for Wednesday morning pickup. We even had debates about whether styrofoam packing material is a recyclable or not. And we ended up getting so involved in the conversation, we called them and asked them. And they said, no, it's trash. You can't put that in recycling. And so we made sure that we never put it in the recycling again. Because it's a rule. But then think about what is it that really motivates us to be so obsessed with rules. So Ruth and I have discussed that before. And actually, it's probably because both of us know that if we ever break a rule, we're the ones who are going to get caught. Nobody else will get caught, but we'll get caught. And so we're going to make sure we always follow the rules so we never fall into that horrible state of being caught. But that's really not consistent with the meaning of something being a rule. I mean, a rule means that there's something you can use to measure something by, right? So like a ruler, or the rule of the Order of St. Benedict, or the rule of the Order of the Franciscans, or the rule of life that was followed by Brother Lawrence in France. These are all rules whose purpose, whose intent was to measure their journey to the heart of God. So it wasn't that the rule of life was this spiritual entity in itself. It's something that they decided that they would do that would put them in a place that they could really feel the heartbeat of God. They could measure their openness to God. The scriptures today are telling us about our need to put our religious rules in the right place in our lives so that we're not just looking for generating a perfect report card on rules, but that we're using rules to help us move towards a full conversion of our hearts for God. In Mark's gospel, Jesus was challenging the Pharisees to consider where their heart was. Was it all about the rules or something deeper? Jesus didn't care whether his disciples followed the ritual purity rules, the codes of washing their hands. And he challenged the Pharisees, you abandon the commandments of God and hold to human tradition. Jesus doesn't want people's hearts focused on rules devised by humans. That shouldn't be our goal. He wants people's hearts to always be listening for the heartbeat of God. The challenge Jesus lays on you and me is to constantly conduct our own heart check, right? And for us to really determine what's motivating us, where is our heart? We need to remember that the health of our heart for God is a choice, and that's why there's this difficult to read list of evils that Jesus puts at the end of that, or that is at the end of that gospel lesson by Jesus, about all the choices we could make that he calls evil, and they're evil because they separate us from God. They damage our relationship with God. They turn us away from hearing the heartbeat of God in our day when we engage in those things. So that's the reason that they defile us. So how much of our life on the Central Coast and how much of our tradition that we live by at work, the routine that we live by, how much of our tradition at home or at church? I mean, the church is filled with tradition, isn't it? And so this is an important thing for us as Episcopalians, I think, to think about this purpose of tradition We seeing ourselves spiritually growing in our life? That's the more important thing. Are there changes we can see in our lives because we've intentionally learned more about the heart of God? The book of James is an interesting one when you think about it. James was the brother of Jesus. He grew up with Jesus. I mean, talk about knowing the heartbeat of God. Think about him growing up watching his brother become known as the Messiah. And James wrote this, if I remember my history right, something like 17 years after Jesus' ascension. And so this is fresh in James' mind, how we should be living the life, how we should be walking the walk. And in this passage that we read, he's giving us four steps to take for learning the heart of God. In the 21st verse of that passage, he says, "Welcome the implanted word that has the power to save your souls." Well, that implanted word is the word of God. It's scripture, it's the Bible, and it's the word of God living in us. That's what we are to work towards, having it implanted in us. In the 25th verse, he says that as we study God's word, we need to persevere. We need to keep at it and not let it get boring or old. That's why I have a bookshelf at home that has like six different translations of the Bible. If I get stuck on King James, which happens a lot, I go to the NIV, and if I can't get it from there, I'll go to the NLT. If I can't get it from there, I'll go to the Message. I mean, there are lots of different translations or paraphrases in the case of the Message that help us get insight and to persevere in understanding. That's why we make sure we hand out forward day by day, so that it's very easy for us to pick something up and every day persevere. It's why when I do Bible studies, I ask anybody who attends to make sure they have a good study Bible. If you don't have one, buy one. And make sure that there's lots of footnotes, because they help us persevere. That passage from James also says that as we study and persevere, we need to not forget. And so as we persevere in our study of God, it helps us to remember better and better passages of Scripture and the flow of what Jesus was teaching, and to sense that heart of God. The message from James and from Jesus is to live our life with the heart of God beating in us. And tradition is important, as I said, to us Episcopalians, because we find it important to mirror the traditions of those little house churches of the first century and to gather that sense of community gathered around the table. And it's also important for us to mirror the tradition that got picked up in the third century when the followers of Christ, the Christian faith, became the religion of the Roman Empire. And so that took on trappings, it took on more tradition, it took on pomp and circumstance that we enjoy. And that's good, but that's not the core purpose, right? It only serves us to the point that it helps us sense that we're in God's living room. And so we can use this space to move closer to God. Our life as Christians is not to be about a rules-driven religion. It's about love-driven worship. Okay? Not rules-driven tradition, but love-driven worship. We're not called upon to only listen to God's word, but these passages tell us we're to study it, we're to persevere in finding the deeper meaning in it, we're to remember it, and we're to respond to it as God's Spirit leads us to respond. The real goal in yours and my faith journey is not to check off a list of godly accomplishments in order to get a good report card. Our faith journey goal is to experience the conversion of our hearts, is to listen for the heartbeat of God beating in us. Amen.